Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Before we change our topic, because I have got two topics that I want to put on the table that I think will get your blood boiling, maybe have you thinking about something different. Before I do, I want to go to Jesse, who's calling about the topic from the last hour. We were talking about the election, what's happening in Baltimore City, about the fact that the Baltimore Civilian Review Board is suing the police department. Let's wrap that conversation up, and then let me tell you what else we're talking about today. Hey, Jesse, how are you?
How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, that whole, I don't understand how somebody can ignore subpoenas. I mean,
I don't understand that.
I've gotten a subpoena myself for something small for a friend of mine. I paid his bail one time. They came to my house and knocked on my door.
You know what? I'm telling you. I've been at somebody's house who's gotten a subpoena, and they knock on the door like they're looking for directions or something. You open up, and they're giving you stuff. Yes.
Yeah, so I don't get how anybody can ignore subpoenas. And I just wanted to comment, Mr. Wiggins, when he called.
Yes.
I've always wondered what the sheriff here in Baltimore City was supposed to do.
Yes.
And he kind of cleared that up for me. So I appreciate that little tidbit before I go vote tomorrow.
No, I think it's very interesting, because when I was just looking at, you know, the black and white mailer you get of everything that's on the ballot, and when I saw David Anthony Wiggins' name, he's on as a Republican candidate for the position of sheriff. Hearing him talk about exactly what the sheriff does and not actually seeing that happen has always been a bit of a disconnect. I didn't know the sheriff could actually shut all of this down and bring some order and control to this thing. So I'm not telling people who to vote for. I'm just saying I want a sheriff that can help this particular case right here. We shouldn't have to sue the police department to get files so we can figure out police misconduct. I mean, if that doesn't sound like a cover-up, what does?
I don't know what does either.
So, yeah, we need to do that. And you know what's interesting? I'm going to throw this last thing out, Jesse. The board said one of the main problems with them holding on to these files is that some of the complaints have timed out, meaning it's too late for Baltimore Police Department to discipline officers for misconduct. So they've been holding on to the files. And as a result of that, we passed the deadline to even hold these officers accountable. That's what I mean by cover up.
That is interesting. I have some information I have to look up on that.
Yeah.
Because I went to the Citizens Police Academy, and they went through some of that when that happens. So I want to see. I think I have it scribbled down somewhere. I had to look for it.
Yeah, and let us know once you find out. Because they've been holding these files now for about 4 months. So stuff is timing out. Yeah.
I know it's about 10 days with the law enforcement officer's Bill of Rights.
Yeah. See, that's a problem. I say hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. Somebody needs to go to jail. We do. Yeah. That's the only way we're going to get some order and control here. Thank you so much, Jesse, for calling. Folks, let's talk about what has been happening around this country. Have we reached a point where we have no more civility, where it's just kind of an all-out fight to the death? Whatever happens, just happens. Two things caught my attention. One is about the California teacher that was caught on camera. Let's take a listen to 8526, and then I'm going to explain it more on the other side.
Now to a disturbing scene inside a classroom at the Maywood Academy High School. This is in California. A teacher and a student embroiled in this brutal fist fight during class, and the whole thing caught on cell phone camera.
Yeah, students in the class say their classmate was asked to leave because he wasn't dressed in proper uniform. That's when things got out of control. Apparently, the student refused to leave, shouted racial slurs at the teacher, who's African American, you see there, and then threw a basketball at him. Well, students say that's what pushed the teacher over the edge. One student told our affiliate KTLA this was all a setup because everyone had their cell phones out ready to capture all.
Now, the teacher was arrested. The student was taken to the hospital with minor injuries, and the Los Angeles School District says they're cooperating with the sheriff's office. Detectives with the agency's Special Victims Bureau are investigating.
Okay, so let me see if I can explain this, because I saw it. You got to go take a look at this. The Maywood Academy in California. The teacher is a male African-American. He's not a small teacher. He's a pretty thick teacher. The student, young, I mean, I'm thinking you got to be only 9th or 10th grade. The student is white. The teacher told the student to leave because the student didn't have on the proper uniform. Now, I just want to make a note, folks. In the video, all the students are in, you know, sweatshirts and jeans. I'm not sure what the uniform is that the teacher was looking for, but I didn't see anyone in a uniform of sorts. And the teacher attacked the student after the student called him the N-word, according to the reports, multiple times. So student getting up in your face, call you the N-word, throws a basketball at the teacher. Now, the video picks up from there. And this is why I get so concerned with these citizen journalists, right? Because nobody caught the student throwing the basketball on camera. All his friends in the classroom, they started recording. Once that teacher got the basketball, wherever the basketball hit him, the teacher swung up. I mean, he must have thrown a right hook at this kid. Knocked him back. The kid kind of gets himself together, puts his fist up. He's swinging blows, none of them landing, by the way. The teacher begins to wail on this child. Let's be very clear. To the point that at one point in the video, the child is kind of on a chair, almost on the ground, and the teacher's beating him. I think the teacher had a phone in his hand, I think, and just banging him in the back, banging him on the head. And students are videotaping, not jumping in at this point. Videotaping. Finally, one student grabs the boy by the t-shirt to pull the student away from the teacher. Another teacher comes running in, tries to grab the male teacher, who pushes off the person trying to hold him back, and jumps on the student again. So is that the proper response? Have we gotten to a point where when you call us the N-word, at this point, there are no lines anymore? I want to put that one on the table, and I also want to put another case on the table. And this happened at an Ohio State game. It came across Twitter. Fascinating, folks. Again, maybe we've reached a line here under this president where there is no civility. It's just whatever happens, just happens. A white man, and race is as important in this story as it was in the last story. I'm not just going to say a man because it matters in race. Listen to this. A white man is arguing with a white woman. Who knows what they're arguing about? You don't see that in the video, but you do see him spit in her face. A white man spits in the face of a white woman. All of these white men and women are around, and nobody does anything. He spits in her face. Out of nowhere, to the side of the video camera, comes this black woman. She's not a small black woman. She pushes the white guy off the bench. He falls on the ground, and she's yelling, "That's a female! That's a female! You don't do that! That's a female!" Sister girl stepped in, like some type of superhero out of nowhere, to like save this white woman who got spit in the face by this white man, and nobody stepped in. Like, she is like, seriously, you know, Cleopatra Jones jumping in here trying to help out. So have we reached a point now where civility is a thing of the past? You call me the N-word, I might just go to blows with you. You spit in somebody else's face, I might just have to step in and help. Hey, maybe that's what it's going to take to kind of pull this country back together. I don't know. Let's talk about it. 410-319-8888. I have Phil on the phone. Phil's a new caller from Baltimore. Phil, welcome to the family.
Thank you. I'm calling in reference to a conversation earlier about voting.
Yes.
And I want to get a point across.
Sure.
We have stopped voting in terms of party. And in terms of what we have done in the past and what our family members have done, we have to vote for individuals who are going to help our causes and help us to get the things we need done in our city.
Absolutely.
It has nothing to do with whether you're a Republican, whether you're a Democrat, independent, anything else. We have to vote for people who have principles, people who know what they are getting in office for and what their job entails. So it doesn't make a difference about whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't make a difference because you know someone, they happen to be a friend of yours or your family members have voted
right.
for you. People wake up and vote your interest. People wake up and vote for individuals who know what their job's about, who have enough courage and heart to implement what they say and follow up what they have promised to do. David Anthony Wiggins is the man for sheriff in Baltimore City.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Folks, this is what we're talking about. We are talking, one, about the election tomorrow, and two, I just think we got to talk about whether or not civility is a thing of the past. What exactly does this mean? 410-319-8888. I have Colin on the phone from Northeast Baltimore. Colin, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. K. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, civility, I mean, you can kind of see that people are, you know, it's getting to that point. It's for some not already there. You know, people are fed up, Dr. K. People are fed up. And as far as that school setting, you have a teacher, a black male teacher, which is a rarity at that.
Right.
Being berated by a child who obviously has no training at home to how to respect his authority figures and adults. So if you watch the video completely, the man stood there and took it. I mean, he took it for a minute longer than some may have that he say that he should have. But he did. He took it. Kid hit him. That's an assault with a basketball. And then he just snapped. And should he have? Maybe not. He should have just exited, removed himself, and then called, more authority to come take care of that situation. But, we are human beings.
Right.
We are emotional creatures, and we act. We have feelings. So it happened. And does it make it right what he did? No. But it's understandable because we are human. We are, he reacted. As far as a lady at the game, the black lady coming to rescue the white woman, I'm not a fan of that, Dr. K. I'm going to be truthful with you. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of that. Why? Why should we have to come to their rescue? Because if you notice, it was all white folk around this white man who did an animalistic behavior and spat in a woman's face.
Mm.
You a white male terrorist who spit in a woman's face. Mm. No matter what color the woman, you just did an act that was vulgar to the nth degree. And then a black woman having to come to her rescue. I'm like, you fight your own battles. We have enough that we're dealing with.
Wow.
And would you come to my...
Okay, well, let me ask you this, Colin. Let's complicate it a little bit. So you wouldn't help, in terms of that. We fight our own battles. But if that was a black woman being spit on by a black man, would you jump in? Because that sounds like it's our battle. Would you jump in?
That's us. We have our own stuff to deal with.
Okay, so would jump in.
I would then, but I'm not helping them. They can help themselves.
But think about that. Think about that, though, Colin.
What about it?
I'm saying, but a white woman gets spit on by a white man, and you're saying, hey, that's not our battle. It's only our battle if it's a black woman or a Hispanic woman. Like, so you look and see who's involved before you step in and help out?
I would say this, for me personally, if it's a black person who got violated like that, I would help my people. I help my people, period. Period.
Wow.
I mean,
I'm not saying anything wrong. I'm just saying we should understand that if this is the world we're living in, then we're actually, Colin, more divided than ever before. Because we're now saying that we're not leaning in to help anybody if they don't look like me.
Dr. K, we're way past.
But what about all the white allies? I mean, I have some white allies who lean in to help me, who look and say, this issue around racism is beyond just a black and white. It's just about a human rights issue here. And they lean in to help out. In that instance, do I help? Because I don't know who this white woman is. But do I let my own humanity go to the side? Because, she's not black, so it's not my issue.
Right.
Yeah, I'm throwing that out. Come on, Colin. Throwing it out. Thank you so much for calling. Folks, I'm asking. Colin has really got me thinking here. Because does humanity actually have a color? So I can only lean in and help when black people are suffering. I can only lean in and help when Hispanic people are suffering. So if a white person is suffering, I'm being led to believe we don't lean in and help. Folks, I want to be very clear to all my black comrades out here. We don't have the numbers to win this by ourselves. We're about 13 to 14% of the population right now. We need allies. We cannot win this thing by ourselves. We just don't have the numbers. We don't. And according to the U.S. Census, we're not even predicted to have the numbers. By 2045, black folks will remain flat between 13 to 14%. We're not even having enough kids to have the number at some point. So we don't lean in. So we don't want any allies. We're going to fight this thing ourselves. No, no. We didn't end American enslavement by ourselves. We didn't end Jim Crow by ourselves. We're not fighting Black Lives Matter by ourselves. We're not going to elect Stacey Abrams by ourselves. We're not going to turn this country blue by ourselves. Like, we just don't have the numbers. But we can talk about it. 410-319-8888. I have Cindy on the phone. Cindy's a new caller from Bel Air. Cindy, welcome to the family.
Thank you. I just want to point one thing out. Civility, we're talking about it today. But are we really talking about it today? My point is I've had quite a few experiences. I've been jumped in New York City in front of the one of the most beautiful libraries in the world at noon. Everybody was walking with their lines going to and from lunch, and no one stopped to help me.
Wow.
Okay, this is before cell phones. No one had a chance to videotape it.
Right.
Down in the subway, a couple of teenagers jumped me. They were mixed color kids. I'm not saying black, white. It was combination.
Right.
Did anybody stop and help me? No. This is, again, when there weren't cell phones to videotape it. I mean, I just ran for my life, and
right.
Everybody pretended that nothing was happening. I think it's not just now. I think the fact is we're more aware of it now because we're able to videotape it and post it on the internet
right.
and things of that nature.
Well, that's interesting because I just want to ask you, Cindy, in situations like this, so I just say if you were there, and this white man, he's arguing with a woman. They must have been arguing about it. I'm sure they didn't know each other because of the way it went down.
Mm-hmm.
Would you step in and help out? I mean, this black woman, she pushed this guy down and stepped in to help out.
Right. Well, the thing is this. I mean, a few weeks ago, a man was being belligerent with me at Wegmans. He scared me. And I just think back, I'm like, my goodness, why didn't I just go get the manager? Because I put my things on the belt before he wanted me to. You know, put your things on the belt to be rung up. Would I have jumped in? Actually, I wouldn't have because I think I'm fearful. I would have gotten someone else. I would have said something, but I definitely wouldn't have laid hands on him. And is that really peacemaking? We're stooping down to his level.
Mm.
I think we should try to be more peacemakers and use our words than putting on hands on. You know, touching somebody else, pushing someone. I mean, I think it was great that she was trying to reach out and help the other woman. She felt passionate about it. But he could have ended up hurting her.
Yeah, he could have had a weapon.
Yeah, he could have had a weapon.
Yeah,
exactly. So she could have ended up getting hurt. And like I said, she's kind of stooping down to his level where she is, you know, reacting and she's not treating the other person with respect by putting her hands on him. So it is difficult. Like the gentleman just said, we are people with feelings. We are reactionary. But it's kind of hard. Try to maybe keep God in the center.
Yeah.
And if you're afraid to reach out and help someone, get back up.
Yeah, and get somebody to help you. Thank you so much, Cindy. Folks, I have this quote here that was sent to me from the book Heavy. And it says, quote, "We all broken. Some broken folk do whatever they can not to break other folk. If we're going to be broken, I wonder if we can be those kind of broken folk from now on. I think it's possible to be broken and ask for help without breaking other people." So we may be broken in this country as black people. I would argue that we come from a position of strength. But I cannot actually believe that we can't step in, we can't lean in, we can't help out unless it's other black people. Folks, if, I'm just going to throw this out and y'all going to get angry with me, if we only stepped in to help out black people, I don't think Baltimore City would have the issues that we have. I don't think we'd have these homicides. If we really leaned in to help all black people, I think we could turn this city around. 410-319-8888. Is civility dead? And civility, is it only about aligning yourself with people who look just like you? I don't know. We have Rhonda on the phone from Baltimore County. Rhonda, how are you?
I'm fine, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling.
I first want to just say rise up and vote, people.
Absolutely.
Understand how the game is played.
Yes.
Okay? This is a serious time for us, and we cannot take it for granted.
Absolutely.
And also, I want to address the violence. The teacher, and then the young lady in the stand.
Yes.
Now, last month was Domestic Violence Month awareness. Domestic Violence Awareness
Month.
Yes,
it was for October.
For October.
Yes.
And it just seems like because it was Domestic Violence Month, all of these issues of domestic violence are raising awareness about it in the schools, in the homes, in the communities, in the stores. I mean, I have worked in retail. I have witnessed domestic violence in every form possible.
Right.
And I too have been not a victim, but a victor of domestic violence because I was married at one time to a man. It was annulled. It wasn't even a year, but he was very violent. But I beat his behind so bad one time until he said I fought like a man, and he left and ran out the door and never messed with me again in life.
Mm.
So got over that. But the woman that jumped in.
Right.
I had a neighbor. They were Caucasian. And this man used to beat this girl up and down the stairs, back and forth. She never made a sound, a utter, or anything. And
right.
I used to say, "Woo, why won't she just fight him back?
Mm.
Why won't she rise up the courage in her
right.
to fight her back?"
Mm.
But it was like a cold that she has. And even this happens with the Caucasians a lot, I noticed. African-American women, it happens with us, but I think that we are more apt to fight back
mm.
and will not take that mess. But she took it, and I said, I'm going to observe this.
Mm-hmm.
She stayed with him.
Oh, and she stayed with him?
It's with him to this day
oh.
in the community. They moved outside of the area where we live, but she is with him to this day,
mm.
and probably he is doing the same thing to her, but he too was a white nationalist,
mm.
and she was in that stuff too, and I said, thank God, because I did not get involved in it, and I said, you know something, sometimes you cannot jump on your feelings
right.
and what you're feeling right then. You want
right.
to help, but you have to go into prayer. And it is praying time for that teacher that lashed out at
right.
that young child. I don't think it was the right thing to do.
Right.
I think he should have just walked out of the class
yeah.
before he did that.
I mean, just
there
it was violent when you look
when
at
our
it.
Children in the 60s, my mother and them, and they went through that, being integrated in white schools, having adults scream at them, call them all kinds of names, had their children calling them all kinds
right.
of names, adults hitting on them for
and
no
they,
reason.
They took it, but
a man
yeah, I get it.
Who was called out racial slurs, and it's like, you know, they're trying to take us back. We have to take a stand no matter what, because it's clear there's an issue with whites and blacks in America.
And I'm going to stop you there, Rhonda. Thank you so much. Folks, when we come back, Ernest, Brother Derek, Dwayne, Raymond, Stefan, I'm coming to you. Folks, we're just going to hold it here for a moment. This is pretty heavy. So civility definitely has taken a backseat. It is racially laden. And I just want to be very clear to any woman or man or child listening at this moment, if you are in the middle of a domestic violence situation, in no way is Today with Dr. K stating that it is your fault if you choose to stay. We know it's very complicated. When we come back, we're going to give out the number for the domestic violence hotline. Do know you're not alone, and there are places that you can call. We do not want to be a trigger for people. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Stay with us. Back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, before we get back into our conversation, we're talking about civility. I just want to give out this number to the Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-7233. If you or someone that you know is involved in a situation with domestic violence, call this number. Help is out there. They're listening, and we're here to help you. I'll make sure I give out the number again at the end of the show, because that came up in the conversation, and we want to make sure that we're giving people information that they can use. All right, so the conversation we have on the table, we're talking about civility. Is civility a thing of the past? Do you only step in to help out? If you're a black person, will you only step in to help out another black person? Or does it even matter? We're talking about the white man who spit in the face of the white woman. There were white people all around, and none of them jumped in. White men, everyone, nobody jumped in until a black woman comes out of nowhere and pushes the white man, yelling out, "That's a female." A teacher, a black male teacher, got called the N-word by his 9th or 10th grade white student. He started punching them and beating them down. Yeah, that's what's happening here. 410-319-8888. We have Ernest on the phone from West Baltimore. Ernest, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I want to retort to what David Anthony Williams was saying, talking about.
David Anthony Wiggins?
Wiggins, yes.
Yes.
Are you still a Republican?
Is he still a Republican? I think he's on the ballot.
You.
I never was. You. I never gave my political party. I never said I was
a
Republican.
You said you was a Republican.
No, I did not say that. No, I did not say that. Because I am definitely not. In fact, I have always been registered as an independent because I like to have my options open. So no, 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 I am not a Republican. I have never been a registered Republican.
Well, I thought I heard you say that.
Yeah, you heard that wrong because that's not correct at all.
Okay. Well, David Anthony Wiggins is going to get 2 votes. His vote and the guy that called in for him. Most of the people that's been at sheriff's office are retired police officers. If they wanted to patrol the streets and all that, they would have stayed with the police department.
Mm-hmm.
So, and no other, in Baltimore County, do you hear the Baltimore County sheriff's office saying that we can patrol Baltimore County? You hear the New York Police Department saying that we can get the sheriffs to patrol New York City?
Mm-hmm.
They don't say that. In Baltimore, the sheriff's department is supposed to take care of the security of, their main job is taking security of the courts. Now, furthermore, does David Anthony Wiggins, does he have a law enforcement background?
I have no idea. I actually don't know. If he's listening, David, David is following on Facebook Live. David, if you have a website, can you go ahead and put it up on Facebook Live, and I'll make sure that I share it? Because I can't answer your question because I don't know.
Yeah. Well, does he have a college degree? Tell him to put that on the website.
Yes, please.
You're just going to take an individual that's doing a whole lot of talking who is not getting any support from the Republican Party. Nobody. He said that himself. Nobody is supporting him.
Mm-hmm.
In the Republican Party. So you're going to elect this man as a sheriff of Baltimore City? He's been running over and over and over again and has never been elected, come out with all this crazy talk. I mean, the sheriff's department takes care of the courts. It's a state agency. If he can stand there and try to do things his own way, whoever's the governor. Matter of fact, I'm a Democrat, and I voted straight Democratic ticket. I'm not an independent. I'm a Democrat. I voted all the way for Democrats.
Now, I would recommend this to people, though, Ernest, because what you're tapping on, I think, actually is not a bad idea. I have said on this show, I said it on Friday, I'll say it again today, before people go into that booth and they vote, they should go on that magical thing called Google. And they should do some research. You don't just vote for candidates based upon their name and their party. Go and figure out who people are. What is their background? What have they been doing before you pull and push that ballot?
Well,
I definitely agree with that.
With black people, this is the only state. In other states, when black people are running for office, they're getting support from black people. In Florida and Georgia.
Yes.
They're getting support from black people. In Maryland, when Anthony Brown ran for governor, he did not get support from white people, he did not get support from black people.
Well, I see Ben Jealous getting a lot of support from black people. I mean, in the videos and the photographs I see from Dave Chappelle on down and Wanda Sykes, I mean, I'm seeing people come in and help him out.
Well, you see a lot of Baltimoreans doing supporting Hogan too.
Oh, yeah.
They're even doing commercials for him.
I see a lot of it. I'm going to stop you there, Ernest. Thank you so much. We have Raymond on the phone from D.C. Raymond, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
I want to comment on the teacher.
Yes.
And the woman.
Okay.
Now, I'm a Republican.
Okay.
But I'm voting Democrat this time because I'm just sick of how they've been doing business since Trump been in office. That's how I feel. That's how my female friend feels. We're both Republicans, but we're voting Democrat this time. And I voted Democrat when Obama was in office. Not because he was black, but because I liked what he was saying and a lot of what he did when he was in office. But I'm a registered Republican. on the black woman with
yes.
the
who stepped in.
Stepped in. People that steps into stuff that's not their business is in their character. That's something that I would do.
Right.
I wouldn't care if you're black or white or Hispanic or any other ethnic group. You do it because that's who you are as a person. And it takes a special kind of person to intervene, whether it is to save somebody's life, whether it is to step in and risk your life. It's in your character. And I agree with you when you said we cannot just help our own kind because we don't exist by ourselves. We need the support of other groups because we are a small minority in this country.
Right.
And we didn't get nowhere without other groups being involved.
I completely agree. Thank you so much, Raymond. I appreciate you. Folks, we have Scott Joseph Fitzgerald chiming in from Facebook Live. He is saying hello from Ireland. He had a question for us about the midterm elections and what is going on. So let me answer that, then we'll get back to our discussion. Scott, please note tomorrow we'll have a full day coverage here on WEAA 88.9 FM. We're going to cover the elections from the morning all the way till the evening, even with results. But the midterm elections, which are held, I mean, everyone knows about the presidential elections, but the midterm elections, it really comes down to a slew of elections. House and Senate races and governor's races, they're usually held smack in the middle of the president's term. That's why we call them the midterms. And do note that all 435 seats in the House of Representatives will be voted on during the midterms, because members run every 2 years. 35 seats in the 100-minute member Senate, because members serve six-year terms, are on the ballot this year, as well as governorships in 36 states. The reason why these particular midterms are so important is because the party that ends up in control of Congress can either make Trump's life a breeze for the next couple of years or can make it a nightmare. Can shut him down. That's why we're trying to have a blue wave. And it is very important because there are a number of issues in this election. Some of the top issues in this election, Scott and others, healthcare, the economy, and immigration, in that order. People, when they go to the polls, all of the research is showing they are concerned about healthcare, they're concerned about the economy, and they are concerned about immigration. And finally, what does this midterm have to do for the rest of the world? Like, what does it mean for the rest of the world? Well, the results of the midterms will likely change how President Trump is perceived by other world leaders. If they get a strong showing for Republicans, it will look like this America First agenda is going unopposed in this country. Trump would probably then start to move forcefully for changes in how the U.S. deals with the EU and NATO alliances. He also might challenge the Chinese more forcefully on economic trade issues. If there's a blue wave, and I'm hoping for a blue wave, Trump would look a lot weaker. So your vote tomorrow matters. Scott, thank you for the question. Please tune in tomorrow from early morning. Tune in as early as mornings with Mikkel all the way till the evening. Julius will be chiming in all day long. On this show, all we're talking about is the election tomorrow. We have on the phone Nico. Nico's a new caller from Baltimore. Nico, how are you? And welcome to the family.
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me. First time caller, as you said. I'm
yes.
a huge fan of your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to hit on two points. The point of civility and just the whole teacher and how he reacted to the child. So first thing for the civility, I don't know if you've seen the documentary, I'm Not Your Negro.
I have.
So I just wanted to
Which is James Baldwin, people. It's all about James Baldwin's last book, and it has quotes from James Baldwin on it, I Am Not Your Negro. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted to quote what he said just about how African Americans and how and their relationships and how they view Caucasians. And you had a caller earlier who was saying, you know, if that was me in that situation, I'm not gonna help that white woman, I'm gonna allow them to do it. I think when black people are saying things like that, it's not a matter of them not being civil. It's a matter of mm-hmm. them not having the patience to be moral anymore.
Right.
I think we're tired of being the moral big brothers, the moral parents of the world. world, always having the turning of the cheek, and even with the history and what white folks have done to black folks in this country, we still having that open heart. So
right.
just to quote that movie, I'm Not Your Negro, it's not that black people hate white people. It's just that we want them to get out of our way, more so out of our kids' way.
Mm.
So that segues me into the schools and just how the teacher reacted to that student. I am a school teacher. I teach at Booker T. Washington Middle School, and I've been teaching for 3 years now.
Thank you for your service.
Yes. I really think that for these new crops of kids, we can't have old school teachers anymore.
Mm.
I really think you need an extreme amount of patience and self-love. You really need to understand self-love and have self-preservation just so you can take on the constant wave or this emotional gosh that the children have to deal with, and it is a matter of trust that they have for the teachers in the school system, hence why they act out so much in the school. It is a matter of trust. They know that if you hit them, they have certain rights that they can do. So
right.
Or you'll get fired, etc. So I really think that for anybody who wants to be a teacher, you really need to not just have love for the art of teaching, but really have love for yourself and really have patience.
It's a lot of patience. A lot of patience. Thank you so much, Nico. I got to stop you there, Nico. We have a lot of calls. Thank you for your service. We have Aaron on the phone from Turner Bay. Aaron, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
So I was going to just reiterate what the last caller said.
Okay.
He said my point is, I don't think it was not civil of getting involved, but the black guy is just, you know, frustrated, and there's a lot of people. Like, I mean, unfortunately, I hear a lot of blacks myself around Caucasians say if the last thing could be happening to them, and I would not help them.
Mm.
This president has done that. Whether they mean that, that's to be seen, right? When they get in a predicament like you're talking about,
right?
But it's not just this president. Up to now, Caucasians, that's the only race I can speak from, and I'm black,
mm-hmm.
have made you feel like they're so better.
Right.
But when they get in this jam, if you're there, who would be the better that they can't get out of that you might be able to help them?
Right.
And it's a sad world, but when you choose to disgrade blacks like they are doing on a lot of levels,
right,
you might get that. I wouldn't do it personally. Like the guy before said, it's in some people's heart, but you still have to be very careful. That lady, that could have went a lot different.
It really could have. I mean, the guy could have had a number of things could have happened in that. That was a big move, I think.
Yeah.
That was a big move.
Nowadays, can get a bluff, can get your life taken.
So, yeah, yes. Thank you so much, Aaron. I appreciate you. We have Claudia on the phone from Reisterstown. Claudia, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, thank you for calling.
Yes, I just want to say that now it has to stop. You know, we have to just put it all out there that, you know, there is no super race.
Right.
No one race is dominant over all. It's only one God, our creator. There's only one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have to learn to deal with the people within our own races
okay.
and get them straight. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Every race has some good and some bad. Every race need to clean up the bad.
Right.
And come together as one. You know, I'm pretty sure God probably saying, oh, wow, why did I make them different colors and different features? He should have made them all the same.
Right.
And another thing for the white man, they need to put it out there exactly where they came from, what they did, who they are, and let their kids and their grandkids see their history, see where their ancestors came from and what their ancestors did to people.
All right. I appreciate you, Claudia. Thank you so much. We have Dwayne on the phone from Baltimore City. Dwayne, how are you?
Just happy to be here, Dr. K.
Hey! Thank you for joining us, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Look, Dr. K, look. You know, I'm so glad that you challenged Colin and his thought process, because we got so many of us out there who think, oh, you know, screw humanity. You know, if I see them suffering, I just let them suffer, you know, and don't realize the actual position that we're in. I think you need to do a show about black power, the numbers, the politics of the numbers, and how it all mixes in. Because a lot of our people are confused. They think that we must be 50% or 60% of the population.
Right.
They don't realize how small we are, and we're not getting bigger. So please, if you can make a show, you should do a show on that. As far as that teacher, Dr. K, come on. He is done, and he should be.
I can't even imagine that teacher with that kind of, I don't know if it's anger, frustration, I don't know what it is. I would be very uncomfortable, even as a black man, when I have black children, having him in the classroom with my sons. I would be.
But yeah, I'll tell you what, man, that is just, you know, and even if the kid was as wrong as you can imagine, that teacher has authority and he should have behaved better.
I think so.
Okay? So there's no excuse for what he did. None at all.
No. Okay? So what do you think about the black woman, the sister stepping in like a superhero, mind you?
I think that, listen, Dr. K, and I think you might have said it earlier. Listen, we cannot lose our humanity.
Yeah.
Okay? And, you know, that it takes a lot of character to put yourself in front of in the position that woman did. And I said, God bless her for that. Because, you know, it shows, you know, the kind of character that she has, the kind of person that she has. And your teacher mentioned that, you know, he understands that, you know, but black people are tired. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, all my brothers and sisters. You came tired. The civil rights movement didn't stop when Martin Luther King died. Just because you got out the game doesn't mean that the movement stopped. And we all need to wake back up and keep moving on. Okay? The burden is going to be on us until we feel 100% like we're part of this country.
I agree. I did. But you know what, though? The kind of change that you're talking about, I'm going to say, I think it starts with tomorrow. People got to get out and vote first. And then we got to talk about some real organizing. Because it seems like just stuff just keeps passing us by. And we don't get upset until we get to this point. All right. Thank you so much, Dwayne. I know I have a lot of calls. I'm going to get to all of you folks. I have Brother Derek on the phone. Brother Derek, how are you?
How are you, Dr. K?
I'm doing well. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah. It's just been a little busy. It's good to hear from you.
Yes.
Just real quick, 2 points, Dr. K. First of all, I love the platform today. I just want to say, first of all, dealing with the situation of being civil, like the young man said, a caller or two back, I mean, the history, white America, unfortunately, I have white friends just like you do, but at the same time, white America has a history soaked in blood,
right.
Mostly out of our hands. You know what I'm saying? And also, before we go looking at each individual situation, should we be civil? Should we jump in here?
Right.
We have a whole other platform. How about reparations?
I can't really hold on one second. I can't really hear you, Brother Derek. Let me let them fix your phone, and I'm gonna go on to Aaron Davis. Aaron Davis is a new caller from Baltimore. Aaron, welcome to the family.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine, Dr. K. I just wanna, you know, congratulate you on your show, but I want, you know, keep it on the radio time because I know it's, you know, but I hear a lot of people talking about our percentage as far as us being a minority or majority. And I beg to differ with that, and I want to challenge that because I'm not saying we are the majority, but we are far more in numbers than what people, you know, count us as being a minority or a majority. We are far greater than that. It's just whether or not how we're counted, you know, and census and other populist counting systems, that is something else. But I beg to differ with this us being such a minority that people say that we are. We are not the minority that people charge us to be. We are more close to half the population than what people. I didn't say we are half. I said we are more close to half the population that people tout us, and I think that needs to be looked into because that's a very big error that people just go along with. We are not the minority. We are not that much as they say.
Okay.
And that's all I want to say.
I appreciate that.
If anybody wants to feedback or get into that, you know, I'm listening.
Okay, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
So, folks, we're talking about our numbers here. Now, I will tell you, just so that people know where I'm coming from, I get the numbers and I watch the census when I do my research. I, of course, am not personally counting up folks. You know, I don't have a conversation with all black folks every Sunday evening. I don't know how many people we actually have, because there's a lot of people who are uncounted. We do get that. But when we start making these type of big scale predictions, we start talking about the, you know, applying data and whether or not it's verifiable and whether or not it's generalizable, we look at what the research says and then we seek to make some sense out of it. That's why those of us who do qualitative research, I am a qualitative researcher, which means I am looking at the stories behind the numbers. Quantitative folks look at the numbers, you know, the percentages, the number of people who do this and that. That's not me. I do qualitative research. I want the story behind the numbers. So if you're saying that black folks are not 13 to 14% of the population, you're going to have a little bit more than just that's what you think. You got to tell me where you got that from. I need to take a look at your research. Scott chimed in again. Scott's, you know, chiming in from Ireland. And Scott said, can you please explain to me how hard it is for an African-American to get a job? Scott, you have really good questions. Here's what I want you to do, Scott. Scott and anybody else who wants to join them. Scott, I want to send you to www.kayswhitehead.com. That's K-A-Y-E-Wisewhitehead.com. On my website, I answer that question. Why is it hard for African Americans to get a job? Go to my website, which is, I think, one of a huge classroom. Go on there, take a look at Trump Syllabus K-12. You can go to the Baltimore Afro, type in my name, K-Y-S-Y-H-E-A-D. I talk about that question, and you can get some answers there. Because I want to make sure you get the information. You can spread it around Ireland. Spread a little love around Ireland in my name. We have James on the phone from West Baltimore. James, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Dr.
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Okay, fine. So since we're talking about numbers, how much money do the African-American community spend in this economy a year?
A spending base? $1.4 trillion.
Okay.
Yeah, I talk about that
saying,
all the time.
So, okay, and saying that, you saying we need help?
No, what do you mean? Well, I'm just trying to. We spend a lot of money, but let's be clear: a dollar stays in the black community less than 6 hours. So we spend the money, but it ain't coming back.
But if you take that $1 trillion out of this economy, the economy will fall.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. See, we having the wrong conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Our conversation should be about finances and how we should spend that $1 trillion we have. It's not that we need more help.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need more people. We got enough people. We need to direct that. We need to talk about how to spend this money.
I agree.
Who to spend the money with.
I agree.
So the only thing I'm saying, I'm taking issue with you telling us we need more people. We don't need more
people. Wait a minute. I never said we needed more people. Someone called and said that black folks are not minorities in this country, that there are more of us than we think. And I'm saying that the research doesn't hold. I'm not saying we need more people. We got a lot of people. We need more allies. And that is a difference. Not more people, more allies.
We don't even need allies.
Oh, no, no, sir. That's not correct. That's not correct. That's absolute. That, hold on. I'm sorry. That's not factually correct, because every advancement that's been made in this country by any group of people, there have been allies leaning in and bending their privilege. You cannot say we don't need allies. That doesn't make any sense. That's not factually correct.
Hey, Dr. K, you could say we'll take them, but we don't have to go looking for them and try to recruit them. If they want to come at their own free will, let them come.
Okay, all right, so then we're saying the same thing. Then that's all I'm saying
is that we need allies. We shouldn't have to go along to get along with a spending base like that. That's what I'm telling you.
No, but I also think that when we have this spending, because we do have a large spending base, $1.4 trillion is huge. It is actually the largest spending base of any group in this country. I think with that, we have to take a look at what are we spending our money on. Would you agree with that? We have to look at the ways in which we're making investments, and we have to look at the ways in which we can make our money work for us. Not just spending money where we're not keeping it within the black community, but spending into our black businesses, for example. Spending into the candidates who have our best interests at heart. I think there are ways we can turn that money around. Would you agree?
Okay.
Okay.
And one more thing before we go.
Yes.
I want to know what the people are going to do after the morning after when their candidate leaves.
Okay. On Wednesday?
That's right. I want to know Wednesday morning, what are they going to do? Are they going to lay down and just fold up and say we done, or are they going to keep on fighting?
Well, I think what's interesting in this country, and again, I can only use history and research to answer that question. One of the wonderful things about America, and I think it's a beautiful, glorious thing about this country, is we have a peaceful transference of power. I think that is a part of who we are. You vote. If your candidate doesn't get elected, we don't do a coup d'etat here. We're not blowing away people because we want to take over the governorship or we're going to have another president. No. We have a peaceful transfer of power, and then we organize. Like all the people that organized to march the day after Trump was inaugurated, we organize and we get ready to come back fighting. Folks, this has been just a production of WEAA. I thank you for participating in the conversation and for sharing your drive time with me. My show is produced by my award-winning producer, Justina Pollard, along with Deja Edwards, my intern, Morgan State student, and we had Dre Melton on the board today. Folks, join us tomorrow. It's going to be wonderful tomorrow. I'm going to start my day off with voting, and I'm looking forward to seeing many of you at the polls. If you see me, just give me a certain hello, give me a shout out, and I'll get some of these tapes so we can air them on the air. You need to vote tomorrow, and then you need to meet me on the air tomorrow, and let's talk about it. Starting early with Mornings with Mikkel, we're going to start having updates. You'll hear them throughout the day from Mornings with Mikkel. You'll hear it on the Masterclass with Robert Shaheed. You'll hear updates through Sandy's show, through my show, through Faraji's show. Julius White will keep us in touch with what is going on in the city. Stay tuned, because up next is For the Culture with Faraji. Remember, folks, like Shirley Chisholm said, if they don't have a seat for you at the table, bring a folding chair. Be unbought and unbossed. Stay tuned. Quick update from MTA, and we'll talk again.